Bibles with me to Matthew 6:33. You know, one of the things that I wanted to share about here in Matthew 6, it's about seeking first the kingdom of God. And this is the first Sunday of the new year, right? And I always try to listen to my heart to see what God wants. And there's some things that I've personally just been had to deal with in the last, probably the last 3 weeks. Three, maybe 4 weeks. I just share because it's really important. But the last 4 weeks, I've done 7 funerals of people that are good friends of mine. And there's somebody that I'm dealing with right now that's a really good friend of mine, and found out what the doctor said, that he didn't have very long to live. And so I've been down over the last 2 or 3 weeks probably quite a few times just to see them. And this is what I just wanted to share, just my heart today, because and it's funny because when people get this news, what do they begin to do? If people, most people, that's what they're starting to do, is to get everything in order. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, and which is completely the 100% right thing to do. I went in last week and his lawyer was in there. He's just trying to get everything ready is all he's trying to do. Just to get everything ready so there's nobody left. His family, God healed his whole relationship with his family. My question is this, and I begin to think about this. Why not live today? I let me just share this too. I remember I had a Corvette one time years ago, and I drove this Corvette. And how many people know Corvettes at all? They got a fiberglass body, so they always look good. But my Corvette had pop cans on the exhaust because it looked good, so it didn't matter to me, and I wouldn't do this today, but back then I just did whatever I could do. My windshield motor's wipers didn't work, and neither did my windows. And pretty well everything on the car didn't work, except the motor, and it looked good. I remember if I hit the brakes too hard, it just dragged you right in. But I didn't have the money because them calipers on them things were over $400 a piece. So I just drove it and looked good. And I remember the Lord said to me one day, this is a true story, and it changed my life. The Lord said to me, I want you to give that car away. And I struggled with that because Ray, my brother and I always wanted a Corvette. And when he was killed, I got the Corvette. Sort of like for Ray, but I didn't have enough money to make it nice. But it looked good. And when the Lord said to me, I want you to give the car away, I said, I struggled for a while with it because of Ray and me. Because my brother meant a lot to me. And it was sort of a memory to him. And finally I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it because I just want to do what you want. And I went to give it away, and the Lord says, no, 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 no. You can't give a car that's junk away. You got to fix it up. And so all the money that we had, I put a new exhaust on it. I fixed the windows. You know, when a cop would pull you over, I couldn't just hit the button and it would go down. I had to open the door and say, hey, how are you? So I fixed the windows that they go up and down. I put a new windshield wiper motor on it. And I fixed the brakes. I had a vice grips. You wouldn't tell anybody, but I had vice grips pinching one line off because the caliper leaked. So I just figured I pinched the rubber line and it didn't leak. So that's why that front tire didn't work. But the other one did. That's why it would pull you. And so I fixed that. And I spent about $2,500 of all the money that we had. And I fixed this car and I give it away. And I was laying in bed that night and I was excited that I could give it away, because when you do what God wants, it makes your life feel good, right? Because you and I only got one shot at life, right? And I laid in bed and I thought, why wouldn't have I fixed this up, even though we didn't have a lot? Why wouldn't have I fixed it up and enjoyed it? Have you ever tried to drive and look cool in the rain down George Street and you can't see because there's no windshield wipers? Thank God for Rain-X. I did buy Rain-X and put it on there. It tried to beat it off, and it actually worked. But I drove this car, and nothing worked. And then when I went to give it away, God said, fix it up. You can't give junk away. So I fixed it up, and I gave it away, and it changed my life. And I thought, why wouldn't I try to do something for me instead of just do it when I have to give it away, or do it at the end of my term? And from that day on, I have purposed. And that was one of the, just, that's why, if you notice, about 10 years ago, I used to travel all over the world. And I was gone, and I still love God just as much today or more. I still love to be the pastor here. And I still love to go to the hospital and see people. And I still do the best I can. But God said to me, are you going to wait like your dad did? And I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, when my dad was young, my dad was gone all the time. And Uncle Sanford raised me. That's why my Uncle Sanford's like my daddy, even though he's my uncle. I love my uncle. And Aunt Ella used to spank me. But they were like my parents. I loved them. Faith was like my buddy. We used to play up on the mountain. I remember that. And every weekend, my mom and dad were gone. And I was there. When I was small, I was at Danny's house. Danny whipped me too. See, you were allowed to whip other people's kids back then. And I didn't really have a good relationship with my dad. And it just got worse. But God healed and fixed our relationship when? The last 10 years of our life. And the Lord said to me, are you going to do that? Are you going to be a dad to your kids? So I stopped traveling all over the world. And I came home. And I started to be a dad to my kids. My kids now are my friends. I don't think my kids would be working with me or wanting to hang out with me if I didn't make changes. And I see people near the end of the life, and the thing is, some people at the end of their life don't have time. Because there's a few of my friends that passed in this last month, that one day they were here and the next day they were gone. And they didn't know. And all I'm saying is this is a beginning of a new year. And it's not because of a new year that we need to do this. It's because we need to begin to put God first in our life. Because if you put God first in your life and you begin to seek God, you're going to hear the voice of God. Because I believe that there's things in our lives here today. And I don't mean sins or anything. What I'm talking about, there's decisions that people need and they're desiring to know. Decisions about medication. Decisions about where I need to go in life. What do I need to do for a job? Like, what do I need to do for my kids? I don't know. I don't know that. But I know this, that we have, all of us want to follow God's plan in our life, but we don't always know exactly what to do, so we just keep doing what we do. And one of the things that I have found in my life, and I found this, that when you seek God's kingdom first, or seek God, like I tell my kids this, the same thing. I set my kids down, like I don't whip Caleb and Joshua and Grace and Charity at this time in their life. I still discipline them, but it's different. But I set my kids down, my older kids, and I said, listen, I'm pretty limited as a dad. I can help you, and I'll help you as much as I can. And this is how much I believe this. But I said, Josh, John, Grace, Caleb, if you'll seek God first, God will help you get every possible thing, desire that you have in your life. It might not happen instantly, but God will give you wisdom on money. He'll give you wisdom on marriage. He'll give you wisdom in your life. He'll just help you. God's there all the time to help you. And if you'll just seek God and make Him a part of your life, everything else will work. And it doesn't mean that things in our lives don't go wrong. Because I was thinking, I was just when Jan and Dolores were just singing that last song, I was just looking at, I just was looking for David. Remember when he was in Ziklag? And this is usually, I don't even talk about stuff like this when I'm talking about this. But this is why David was trying to follow God's plan, right? And because God said, you're going to be king. Everybody rejected him as king, because he was so small, but they couldn't go against that he was going to be the king, because God anointed him, and he just beat up Goliath and killed him, and he won the battle, and you know, and Saul was trying to kill him, and he was on the run, and he was in caves, and he ended up in Ziklag. And I was just reading it, because a lot of our lives may be in feeling like this today. And here you are, you're coming here. I look at my life, and my life is wonderful. And it is. You know why it's wonderful? Because I choose every day to have a wonderful life. But I have a lot of things go wrong. But I can tell you this, the one that has the answer for your life and for your life, because see, every one of us has a different plan. Every one of us has a different call. Every one of us in our church are called by God, but you're going to witness to people different than I witness to people. The way you minister, we're all to be a light, but the way you do it is going to be different than the way I do it, because God made me different. So the way I do it is I just try to build relationships with people, and I try to love people, and I try to be kind to people, and I try to just, that's what I do. And then all of a sudden, in an open door, like I just did a funeral last week for a fella in our town that was a contractor that did the same thing I did. And I'm not, I don't think I was their first choice, because I already had a minister, because of the church that they went to, like, or their family went to or whatever. And so what happened was, is that the lady ended up in the hospital that was going to do the funeral, and then they phoned me and asked me if I would do it, and I said I'd be glad. Well, I said I would if I'm here, and if I'm not here, Josh will do it. And they said, it don't matter, either one. And so I ended up doing it, and I asked them why do they ask us? Because I've never seen them here at our church in our life. And it was because in business, I always was nice to this man. I give him jobs when I didn't have time to do them. I always waved to him. I always took time to talk, because I'm not competing with people. You know, I'm just doing what God's called me to do, and I'm just serving God, and I'm just trying to go through this life just like every one of us are. I'm trying to go through so Julie and I can be happy, so my kids can be successful, so I can pay my bills and make a difference in life for the kingdom of God, because life is so short. Like, we only got, like, such a short time here, and so many people just don't think about time, and they don't think about how short it is till it's almost over. And then they begin to think about it, and thank God some of these people have time to get their life in order. But I even think of King, wasn't it King Hezekiah when God said to him, just think about this for a minute. God said to King Hezekiah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he said to him, you're going to die. So I'm just telling you something here tonight. God actually said, you're going to die. Your life is over. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, the Bible says. And he did what? He pleaded and he sook after who? God. And when he turned to God and said, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I don't know everything he said, because I don't think everything he said is in the Bible. But he went to God and said, God, I'm sorry. I'm just going to seek you. Anyways, guess what God did? He gave him more life, more time. Now, let me ask you this. When your life is okay, why don't you seek God? Do you know I've seen people at our church over our life, and I do not judge any people, because I am not in anybody's shoes, and I don't knock people. I don't condemn people. I'm like what Jan talked about. I don't quit, but I don't judge people or knock people because here they're on fire for God, now they're not on fire for God. I love people the same. But I have seen people my whole life at this church, whether I've been the pastor or I've even been serving God, I've seen people at our church come and their lives are in a mess. In a mess. And I've seen them put God first. I see them get born again. And I see them put God first in their life. And I see God begin to rebuild their life. And I see God take them where they're drowning, and he gets them in a lifeboat, and then he gets them on shore, and their life just starts to bloom, and then they go back to the world. And I often thought of this. What if, it's sort of like a diet. You might understand this better. Has anybody ever done a diet? Like, I've done a diet, but I've seen people that have done diets and they've worked really hard and they've lost weight, and as soon as they get to a place where they think they look good, what do they do? What do they do? What do they do? They quit. And they think, wow, this is great. And I even seen people, and again, I'm not judging people. I'm telling you what I see. I've seen people that had, what's that thing called, gastric? Whatever, that little operation. And they lose like 120 pounds. And it's like, it's amazing. And then I see them in a year, and they're bigger than they were before. And I'm thinking, you don't have a stomach. How can you get that big? It's because they just go back. And I know it's easy to do that in everything in our life. But what if you just come to church and you begin to serve God? Because just like Jan said, this church is not perfect. We're not the perfect church. But there is no other perfect church. So if you're in this church, you might as well just be happy. Right? Because we're here to serve God, and we care about people in this church. We love people here. And I'm telling you something. That's why, am I telling stories, Julie, when I say that I sit my kids down and I tell them, put God first? Because I know, what does a parent want? He wants the best for their kids. And you know what? I can help my kids, but I know who can give my kids the best. You know why? Because I look at my life, and I think of what God has done in my life. I take zero credit for anything that has happened. Like, who in the world would think, me growing up, the people that knew me, that God would give me a wife like Julie? That actually just likes me. And she knows me. She says she loves me. They would give me Julia. And me with freckles and no education. And she was smart. She was pretty. She was naive, that's why. And I hooked her. But God give me her. And then God give me my kids. And God has blessed my life. And I've been able to. I just look at my life and I know everything that I have today is because of God. Because the Bible says if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added. The Bible also says this, the enemy or the devil, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it what? More abundantly. When you seek God, He gives you a life more abundantly. When you seek yourself and just go through life, it's not that you're seeking the devil. It's just that you're either seeking God or you're serving God or you're serving the devil. It's the bottom line. Because when you're serving yourself and the world, you're just doing selfish things, which is not God's way. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. So what is the devil going to do in your life? He's going to steal. He's going to try to kill. And he's going to try to destroy. Well, even as a Christian, what's the devil try to do? Steal, kill, and to destroy. That's his job. So why wouldn't we want to do our best to try to seek a God that's going to at least give you a life and a life more abundantly? So what happens is over my life, I've seen these people that serve God and their life gets better. Honestly, I'm not lying to you. Their life gets better. God promises that. Their life just gets better. And all of a sudden, then after everything's good, and I've had people say to me, "My life, God's fixed my life now." And I'm not against them. I'm not judging them. I love them just as much now, even though they've never come to our church in 5 years. And now their life's just a mess again. Like, I just see that. Because when you go back to yourself, what happens? The enemy just steals and kills and destroys and just destroys and just kills and steals and just tries to ruin our lives. And then some of those same people, 5, 10 years later, will come back to me and they'll be saying, "Do you think God cares? Do you think God would?" I know God would. I know God would help you. Because He loves you. But here's 10 years you've just blown. So that's my point today. Is why don't we just serve God? Do you know the Bible says that... Yes, Jan. You can't talk long because I'm on radio. And nobody can hear you.
20 years ago, you mentioned the guy. 20 years ago, I got a chance to go and pray with a man, a couple of the guys and myself. And about a week prior to us going to do this, I heard the exact same thing. He found out he had like 7 months to live.
100%. That's why we have to know what the Bible says. That's why when things went wrong in David's life, and his own men were going to kill him in Ziklag, he went to the prophet and said, "What does God say?" And God says, "Well, you're going to return, you're going to get everything back." And so he went with 600 men to fight this army, and he got everything back. And we need to, if you're seeking God, is all I'm saying, is you're going to be in that tune with God. Right? If you're seeking God, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm going away, and I'm going to send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. But it's like a radio station, and I say this because it's true. Our radio station is going 20 hours a day. I think it's off at night. But it goes 20 hours a day, and it's going for them 20 hours. Well, just because you're not hearing it doesn't mean it's not playing. Right? The reason you're not hearing it is because you're not tuned into the station. And it's not that God doesn't want to help people, because God loves people. I mean, God loves people so much. But it's us that have to take that word and walk it out in our life. And I'm telling you something, God has got great things for you. God's got plans for good and not for evil to give you this expected end. And I think that if you begin to, the whole thing will begin to start in your life if you'll just begin to seek God. I said to Charity, what was it, 2 days ago? My own Charity. I said, Charity, I just want you, I said, you need to seek God. And she looks at me like I'm like got four heads. I said, what I mean is just go to God by yourself. Don't, not around people, not around your brothers and sisters. And just say, hey, God, I want you to talk to me. I want to know you. Just talk to him. Because you know what? If you'll talk to God, you know what he'll do? He'll talk back. And you'll get a voice to hear God. Do you know that in my life, and I'm just sharing my life. Do you know that in my life, the number one thing that's helped me in my life is my spirit? My whole life is I have bought probably 10 pieces of property. I'm just talking naturally, because God said to me, go buy that. And nobody knew it was even for sale. I bought a piece of property last year because God put it in my heart to go talk to the people. I went and talked to the people. And then this year, a fella came to my son and said, how did he get to buy that? Because I already went to the family and said, I'd like to buy that if they sell it. But the person she talked to, or that they talked to, wasn't the person that owned it. I talked to the person that owned it. And when I went and talked to them, they said, sure, I need money. Well, who told me that? God did. How come? Because when you're in a relationship, do you know when Julia phones me? Have you ever had somebody phone you? And I'm just going to end with this, and then we're going to take communion, because I believe that we can just purpose and just say, like what Jen just said, just you got to believe it in your heart, you got to say it with your mouth. Just say, Lord, as I take this communion today, I'm just going to purpose, I'm going to put you first this year. And that's first in your marriage, first in your life, first in your job, first in your money. And it's not because it's a new year, but it's not, what's wrong with starting this way? You know, I'm going to treat my wife right. I'm just going to purpose to treat my kids right. You know, I didn't realize how selfish I was when I got married. Like, I honestly didn't realize till the older you get, you realize I thought more about myself than I did Julie or my kids. What I was wanting to buy was going to affect me. What I was wanting to, and if you'll follow God, God will help. He'll help you become the man you want to be. He'll help you become the dad you want to be. He'll help you to become the husband or the wife or the mother or God knows how to touch your family. There's two things. When you seek God, God's automatically said he'll bring the stuff that you want back. But you get insight into God when you talk to God. It's like this. Have you ever had somebody phone you and they know you, but you don't know them? And you're talking to them hoping you can find out who they are so they don't know that you don't know who they are. Have you ever talked to anybody on the phone like that? Because they know you. They're talking to you. They're talking about to me about a certain job, and I have no clue who they are. And then my wife phones me, and I say, hello. She'll say, hey, I know her. How come? Because I talked to her. I talked to her. I listened to her a lot. It's the same with God. Sometimes people don't know the voice of God because they're not in communication with him. Just hang on 1 second, then I'm done. Yep, what? Phone and she'll say hello, like I don't know how she says it, but hello John, and she'll say it's Darlene. I'm thinking, you don't have to tell me that, I know your voice, Darlene. Why? Because people you talk to, you know them, you know their voice. And if you'll talk to God, you'll get to know his voice, and he'll help you on the things that are inside of you. He'll help you tell you about your body. Do you know my body, I've had to believe God for a lot of things in my life, in my own personal life. And my body wasn't working right. And I had doctors tell me one thing, and then I had health people tell me other things, and then I had other people tell me other stuff. And then I met Harry and he told me other stuff. And my body wasn't working properly, bottom line. And God told me how to fix my body. God spoke to me and told me what to take, and my body straightened out. And it wasn't what to take. It was what not to take. But he told me, and my body straightened around. And that's just being familiar with God. So it's affected my life. It's affected me going through town. You need to buy a bag of milk. It's affected me with our whole life because you're familiar. You don't want God saying, hey, how are you, John? And you're, just keep talking. And I hope I can figure this out. Right? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Yes, you can.
And I totally agree with what you're saying. And if you live by feelings, you won't grow. And I'm ministering this afternoon, and the Christmas kind of gets you that you want to stop moving, right? And I do not feel like doing ministry this afternoon.
I want to encourage our church, because I want to tell you something. God knows how to get your neighbors, and you just need to declare. Like, ever since that point, I have drove better stuff. It still might be older, but I didn't wait to give it away to put new tires on it. I bought new tires for myself because I thought life is life. And so all I'm saying is I encourage people to seek God. Because I want to tell you something. God will not fail one person here. He will help you in your life, in your whole life, because we only got one shot at it. And God cares about people. That's his number one thing. And God will show you how to touch people, impact people, make a difference in people's lives. He'll make a difference in your own heart. He'll change your life, and all he wants is you to seek him. God loves you regardless if you seek him or not. But it affects you. And you need to declare things now about your life. You need to set things in motion today about your future, about your finances, about your health, about your vision. What's your vision? Like, God will give you the vision that for your life, the perfect plan for your life. And then you can begin to go that way. Anyways, I hope that this has made a difference in your life. And because if you'll seek God and you'll know His voice, your life will be 100 times easier. Sort of like God's nothing like my dad. Because God's perfect, but my dad was an awesome man. And near the end of his life, I remember I started getting into business. I was like already in business, but I had older stuff and I wanted to buy a brand new machine. And I didn't know whether I should do that because it was going to cost me like $1,400 a month. And I went and told my dad, I said, Dad, but I'm breaking down with this one a little bit and I have to fix it and I can't. And my dad just said to me, he said, John, if you don't go get one, you'll never have one. And he said, your life will be a lot easier. I went and did it, and he was right. I've never even thought about paying it. I work it for 2 days a month, and it pays for itself. And I paid, that machine's been paid for 3 years now, and I'm still using it. Well, you know, I don't have God here or my dad here anymore. But God will tell you the same thing. Yeah, step out. Just buy it. Or don't. Wait. Wait a month. God will help you in your life. He wants to help you in your life. You just got to seek Him. It's 2:15. And my boy gets out at in 40 minutes. So I'm going to ask Josh. If you would do the communion. Could you do communion? All right. Because I don't want him in the parking lot by himself. So thank you very much. We love our church family, and I want the best for them. I want the best for our family. Because I'm limited, even as a pastor, I'm limited what I can do in your life. But God's not limited. God will do so much in you. And for you, all you got to do is know His voice. So, I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Amen. That was good. Amen. I think it's what you need when you start a new season, a new year, a new time in your life. You need that reset. And you say, where am I going? What am I doing? What's my focus? You got to have goals. I know April said to me that she was going to make a resolution. She goes, even though you preach that you shouldn't make resolutions, which if you got the idea last week that I'm saying don't make resolutions, that was not the point. The point I was trying to get across was, oftentimes we make these resolutions and we have no intention of following through with them. So why set yourself up for failure? You might as well just go with what God's put on your heart to do. Because if you do something that God's put on your heart, you make that a resolution or a goal or your focus, it will succeed. Because if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is exactly what Pastor John was sharing this morning. So, yeah, amen. So, we're going to take up the offering as well, and I guess we'll do communion. And we have Pop Blessing as well. I think they've got some food over there, and so that's going to be good as well. So I won't take long. Let's just jump right into it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read from there. I'm just going to start in verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For if eating, everyone takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. See, what was happening in Corinth, what was happening is they were coming together for the Lord's Supper, and they were making it about a meal, and making about getting their fill, you know, coming and he's saying, listen, this is not the purpose of it. I think it's fantastic that we have pop blessing after we have communion. Because what we're doing is we're saying, listen, this portion doesn't seem significant. It's, what is it? It's crackers today. Sometimes I think we've had those little wafers before, but generally it's crackers, right? Sometimes you can have broken up pieces of bread. I've been in some places and they do it. It's really wonderful and they have a fresh loaf and people break pieces off. And then all of a sudden one day everyone said, I don't know if that's sanitary. And people stop doing communion that way. Other people want to do it and say it's unleavened bread. And so the closest thing we usually have, unless you have a Jewish baker nearby, is a pita or something. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you use. What you're using symbolizes the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the emphasis that we put on what those things represent and why we partake of them. And so they were having an issue in Corinth, and Paul's saying, listen, it's not about that. If you want to eat, you can go eat. You can get together later and eat. So we come here to church and we do this. Then we go over there and we have a meal together. That's fantastic. But this is not supper. This is not lunch. This is a spiritual exercise in which we are participating in aligning ourselves with the Word of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Paul says, I praise you not in those things. So what does he go on to say? He says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Or, that's King James for died. Many have died. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. And so Paul was laying some stuff out here. Paul was great. I mean, Paul would just flip tables over and get right to the point. He didn't mix his words. But what he was saying here is, listen, this is a time when we come, we reflect, we judge our own hearts, we judge ourselves and say, Lord, what needs to change in my life? What can I do to refocus? Pastor John delivered a fantastic message today on that kind of a reset, refocus. What are we doing for this coming year? What are we doing with this? You know, are we going to serve the Lord? Are we just going to, are we going backwards? And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to, whoever's handing these out, if we can have the people coming to hand out communion, if we could do that. And what I want you to do is just take a minute and just think on God. Do exactly what the Word says. Take a moment to judge yourself and to look at your own heart and see where it sits. And listen, I believe most people here are born again. If you're not born again, we're going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But I would say probably the majority of us, if not all of us, are born again. We love the Lord. And yet, we need to judge our own hearts. I love Jesus, but every so often I catch myself in sort of a wrong thought pattern where I'm not putting God first. And I've gotten over into thinking, how can I figure this out? How can I do this? And so this is a time to come and reflect. Amen? So as they're handing those out, you can start Start thinking on those things. Normally at this point, Pearl would play something nice for us, but she's not here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Something, that'd be good.
And I hope that when I deliver stuff that